Hey, we're glad that you are here today. What a beautiful song that was. I know sometimes a little uncomfortable doing this, but would you repeat this after me, okay? God, help me do the little things that'll give me a great faith in you. That's what I want to talk to you about. Little things that make a big difference. Have you ever noticed how when anybody wins the lottery, they always take the lump sum. You know, like this last one, I think the total was like, I don't know, like $1.6 billion. And they took the lump sum and took $12 million. I don't know, it was something like that. It wasn't quite that. It was a lot more than that. But they always take the lump sum. Always makes me think about the guy that asked me one time. He said, John, I'll do one of two things for you. I'll either give you $1 million right now, and I'm ready to say, okay, I'll take it, right? Wouldn't you? I'll either give you $1 million right now, or would you rather have 1 cent today, and I'll double that penny for a month? Now, a lot of us say, give me $1 million, right? Do you know that on a 31-day month, on day 31, if you took 1 cent on day one and doubled it every day for 31 days, on day 31, you would get $21.4 million. Okay? Little things. Little things make a huge difference in life. Now, let me ask you another kind of personal question. How are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? Okay, I'll take that chuckle as not so good. How are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? Here it is, April, what is today? April the 4th? April 3rd? Is it? Okay, whatever. I thought it was April 4th for sure. Anyway, I'll take your word on that. How you doing on your New Year's resolutions? I read that 51% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Okay? Over half of us make New Year's resolutions. Like this. Here's a list. Number one, you know what it is? New Year's resolution? Lose weight. That's exactly right. Lose weight. Number two? Get organized. Number three, spend less and save more. Number four, enjoy life. Number five, get fit. Number six, learn something exceptional. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, help others. Number nine, fall in love. And number 10, spend time with family. Those are the top 10 New Year's resolutions. 51% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Only eight of them say they're keeping them after April 1st. In other words, we really kind of fall off the wagon these first few months in these New Year's resolutions. Now think about it, because New Year's resolutions are usually small things that we commit ourselves to that's going to make us better. That's going to make us healthier. That's going to make us enjoy life more. I want to apply that to your spiritual life this morning and say that, you know what, if you'll make commitments to some small changes, small adjustments, if you'll make and keep some small goals in life, it can make a tremendous difference for you. I had a friend say to me recently, matter of fact, it happened a couple of times. I would see him and he would say something, you know, that he had learned, something that he had been taught, something that he had noticed. And one morning he admitted to me that he had made a commitment to do a devotion every day, that he was going to start his day with a daily devotion and he was going to read his Bible every day. And it was amazing because when I would run into him, he would like tell me something that he had read or something that he had learned or something that God had showed him. And he said to me, it is making a tremendous difference in life. Now think about that, folks. This guy's saying, I made a commitment to do something small, a small change, to reach a small goal, to make a small adjustment, and it's making a tremendous difference. Listen, folks, we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. I mean, you look around and if you see someone who is experiencing life as you wish you could, just make a list. And you'll notice some little things about their life that make a tremendous difference in how they live. Did you ever hear the story in the Bible of Zerubbabel? Let's everybody say that together, Zerubbabel. Okay, I know we got a couple of people that's expecting children in here this morning. I suggest to you that if it's a boy, that you should name him Zerubbabel. And after I finish teaching you this morning, you may want to, because this guy is a kind of an obscure person in the Bible. But there's some little things about his life, little things about his faith, little things about his obedience to God that made a tremendous difference, not only to him, but to the entire nation of Israel, Zerubbabel. We read about him in the book of Zechariah, and chapter 4. And it's really amazing because in this book, it tells us about this guy Zerubbabel. Now, let me give you a couple of instances about him that's going to encourage you to name your child or grandchild Zerubbabel, okay? He had a great privilege because he was the one that led the initial people of God back to Jerusalem after captivity. Over 24,000 refugees, he led them back to what was left of Jerusalem. What a great privilege. He's also noted in this book as being always associated with the high priest. Anytime it talks about Zerubbabel, it's always in the context of the high priest and what was going on in the nation of Israel. In other words, he was very connected to the faith of his people. He was a leader to others of faith in God. When the people needed someone to lead them in obedience to God, Zerubbabel was one of the guys that always came forward and God used. Matter of fact, if you read in this text, you'll notice that he is honored with the privilege of being the one that rebuilds the temple of God. God's temple had been destroyed in the city of David. And Zerubbabel was the one that led the people back, that began and accomplished the rebuilding of the temple. It even says here that he was the one that laid the final stone on the rebuilding of the temple. Now look here, because let me read to you a few verses here. And then I'm going to get to the main verse I want you to listen to. But listen to what Zechariah says about Zerubbabel. This is in chapter 4. It says, "This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'May God bless it, may God bless it.' Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it." Now look, here's verse 10. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." You see, in Zerubbabel's life, he needed to notice and the people needed to hear that this was a time when they had to make small beginnings. Have you ever had a job to do and it was just so daunting, it was just so big, it was just so large that it was hard to even begin it? You know, I've done things like this. A lot of times it has to do with like yard work or things, you know. And you go out and you have this plan, you have this idea that you want to do it. This happened to me, and it's like, you know, I'll stick a shovel in the ground and it's like, You ever done this? I mean, you want something, you desire something, and then it just seems so big, so daunting, and maybe you think about starting it, maybe you even lift a hand to start it, and then it just overwhelms you. You see, God's people, they came back, the temple was in ruins, the city was destroyed. And it said that he started the work, God blessed him to finish the work. And then he says this, don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know what, folks? Nothing, no great thing can ever be finished unless something great begins. Unless we begin something, we can never finish or become something that's great. Listen, folks, God is so faithful. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. And when we see these things in life, and when we understand what Zerubbabel and others are going through here, we see that God blesses them to finish this good work. Let me put a couple names up here and hopefully encourage you in this. Think about David. Think about Ruth. Think about Daniel. David, King David, who was he? He was a shepherd boy. He was so unimpressive that when the prophet came to find and anoint the new king, they didn't even call David in from the field. He was so small. He was so unimpressive. He was so ordinary that they didn't even call him in. But yet this is the one that God used and made king. Don't despise these small beginnings, because God can take something small and turn it into something great. Who's Ruth? Ruth is known, she's known best because she said to her mother-in-law Naomi that I'll never leave you. Your land's my land, your people my people, your God will be my God. She was a worker in the field, but who do we know her as? A great woman of faith that God used to do amazing and wonderful and mighty things. How about Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. We talked about him just a few weeks ago. But small beginnings. One of the neatest things about Daniel is it said that he prayed three times a day. Three times a day he turned his face toward Jerusalem and he prayed to his God who's above. Listen, folks, small things. Don't despise the small things, because God can use these small things and he can begin a great work in you, in us, as we live for him. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was talking to you about this subject, I gave you a quote by John Wooden. It was this. John Wooden, the great basketball coach, said, it's the vital things that are vital. It's the little things that are vital. Little things make big things happen. John Wood, now those of you that are young, you probably don't even know him, but like tonight, the University of Connecticut women's basketball team, they're going to try to win a game that'll put them in the Final Four, win the national championship. They have a girl on that team, Brianna Stewart, who's never lost in college. And if she wins this championship, she will have won four championships in a row. And everybody's like, "Woo, that's awesome." Everybody do that together. "Woo, that's awesome." You know what? John Wooden won 10. He won 7 championships in a row. And he said, it's the little things that are vital. If you want to be great, if you want to win championships, you got to do a lot of little things that are right. I love this story. I found this, and I kind of toyed whether or not to share this with you, but I decided to because I liked it. Okay? Y'all know Bill Walton. Bill Walton, the great basketball player. He played for John Wooden out in California in college. And Bill Walton tells this story about how when he first went to UCLA and to play for Coach Wooden, he said that Coach Wooden called all the team in and he said to them, he said, listen, I'm going to teach you something every day that will change your life forever. And he said, okay, I'm going to start with this. And he pulled out a pair of shoes and a pair of socks. And he said, the first thing I want to teach you guys is how to put on your socks and shoes. So, as you know, basketball is a game that's played on a hardwood floor. And to be good, you have to change your direction, change your pace. That's hard on your feet. Your feet are very important. So I want to teach you how to put on your shoes and socks. And Bill Walton said, he was just like, this guy's crazy, okay? And then he brought out this 12-year-old little boy. His name was Robert. And he was going to use Robert as an example of how to put on your shoes and socks. And he said that Robert was a young cancer survivor from a local hospital there. And he was, you know, letting him be a part of this. And he told Robert, he said, Robert, take off your shoes and socks. And he did. And Coach Wooden jokingly said, I can tell you washed your feet. That's good. That's the first thing. And then he gave him a sock, and he said, okay, son, pull this sock up and put it on your toes, and then pull it up tight around your heel, and then pull it tight up on your thigh. And he said, and then take your hand and make sure that there's no wrinkles. He said, wrinkles equal blisters. And blisters mean that you'll miss time. You won't be able to play. Make sure you don't have any wrinkles out on your toes. And then pull it up tight and make sure you don't have any wrinkles on the heel of your foot, because that's really important. And then pull it up really, really tight. And when you smooth it out and you have no wrinkles, and make sure that your socks fit perfectly. He said, then you take your shoe and you loosen the laces and you put your shoe on and you make sure that your foot is in the shoe really good. And then you start down at the end and you tighten each eyelet by itself and you go up and you get to the top and then you tie it and then you double tie it. He said, because the most important thing is that your shoes don't come out. And he went through this whole thing, and Bill Walton says, I thought the guy was crazy. He said he spent an hour showing us how to put on our shoes. Says the coach told Robert to double tie his shoelaces so they wouldn't come undone. And then he talked him through taking the shoes off by untying the strings, loosening each eyelet by itself. And then said, son, you got to remember that. I hope you never get any blisters in life. Now, if a coach is going to spend that much time on how to put on your shoes and socks, I think it shows us how important it is. You know, David becoming a king, Ruth becoming known for her faith and her obedience to God, Daniel praying three times and able to withstand the lion's den. We also need to know that there's little things in life, in our faith, that are vital. Little things like words and actions and habits. Did you know that words become actions, and actions become habits, and habits speak forth to our destiny? So we have to make sure that the words that we choose are good and right and honorable and noble. And may those words lead to actions that honor and please God. And may we develop the spiritual habits that will help us be faithful to God all the days that he gives us. Little things. Zerubbabel was told to not despise the little things. Jesus said to Martha, there's only one thing that's needed. Paul said, there's only one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind, I press on. David said, one thing I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, there's one thing you lack. So all you have and give it to the poor. One thing. What's your one thing? I love what the book of Isaiah says when it says to enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. I mean, notice this passage. He says enlarge. He says, stretch your tent curtains wide, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. What's he trying to say here? He's trying to say, folks, that you and I need to stretch our comfort zone by finding and dedicating our lives to some little things that make all the difference in the world. You know, when my youngest daughter, Kristen, was young, she loved, I could see her go to a place where they offer you like free bread with your meal. And she would eat like just roll after roll or biscuit after biscuit or whatever it is. You know, she used to take her to those like the Texas Roadhouse, you know, where they have those buttered rolls, and she would just like eat her weight in those. But somewhere or another, when she got away from home, she decided she wanted to be gluten-free. And I'm just telling you, she has ruined my eating out with her. She's ruined it because she's just, I mean, she made a commitment to be gluten-free. And I'm telling you, she lets nothing break that. Because of the way she feels, of course, but she does it. I mean, what are you committed to in your life that's going to make you better, that's going to help you grow, that's going to enlarge you or stretch you or lengthen you or strengthen you in God? What are you doing in life that's going to do this for you? Because I think for a large percentage of us, we just let the world and life happen to us instead of us creating our happiness and creating a path that is pleasing to God. So here's what I encourage you to do. To pick one word. You see, it's easy to be overwhelmed by the mess of our life. You know, it's easy to look at ourselves like Zerubbabel looked at the city of God and at the temple that it's ruin on top of ruin. And where do you start? You know, we're just kind of like a hoarder in life. And when we look at our lives, it's like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what room to start in. I don't know how to even begin to clean up my life. Well, here's the thing, folks. Instead of being overwhelmed by the job that's before you, just pick one word and dedicate your life to it. One word, maybe like seek. Jesus said, seek me first in the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What if every day when we got up, if we thought about seeking God and seeking His direction and praying for His strength, and saying yes to the things that God loves and no to the things that God hates. How would life change for us if we would commit to that one word? Or maybe the word would be pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. What if we did that? What if every decision that I was faced with, that I would seek God's will and seek God's anointing and seek God's favor in that. God, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live? How would life change for you or for me? Or maybe your word would be give. You know, that you're just going to be generous in life, because so much, a lot of times, what causes us to not be generous is because of the way the world responds to true generosity. Did you hear last week that former President George W. Bush and his wife, Laura, went to a restaurant in Texas and had a meal together, had a hamburger, actually, and it said that the bill was $21. The young lady that was their waitress asked if she could take a picture with them, and she did, and then she posted a nasty comment on Instagram and on Facebook about their visit, even though they had tipped her $40. Now think about that. Their bill was $21. They tipped her $40. And then she wrote something nasty on Facebook and Instagram because she was, she didn't agree with them politically. I mean, is that a reason not to be generous? I don't think so. I mean, maybe your word is generous, is to give. Maybe your word is simplify. Maybe some little things that you need to do aren't big changes, but small things that you need to take away in life. Maybe your word is discipline, that you need to discipline yourself in your life. Maybe your word is persevere. Maybe your word is believe. I can't choose your word for you, but certainly you can come up with one. And that's what I want you to do today, is to come up with one word that makes all the difference for you. One word, one affirmation that you can apply to your life. Maybe your word is apology. Maybe the one thing that you could do is to seek the forgiveness of a wife, a husband, or maybe someone else. You see, folks, because I think Jesus had a lot to say about the little things that can make a big difference in your life. He says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, I love this passage. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Isn't that exactly what we've been talking about? I mean, he says that you've been faithful in a few things. Therefore, I'm gonna allow those few things to lead to many things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Sometimes we look at the many things that we need, and we never start with the small things that can make a big difference, that can lead to that, because of the enormous, enormous giant of an obstacle that is before us. Many of you have lofty goals for your spiritual life. There's so many things that you want to do, so many things you want to accomplish, so many things you want to become. So I ask myself, how are you doing? How are we doing? Because we can never achieve greatness without a dedication to the small building blocks that leads to greatness. You know, years ago, I did something at the encouragement of my wife that I'll never forget. Every Tuesday morning, I used to take one of our girls to breakfast. Just one of them. Tuesdays, I would take Sarah and I would sit there and listen as she talked. The next Tuesday, I would take Kristen and I would try to say things that would just drag one word out of her. But this past Easter, they both came to visit. And I thought about those Tuesdays. I thought about those days. It was just me and one of them. And as they left to go home this past Monday after spending Easter weekend with their mom and I, as they drove away, I thought about those Tuesdays. And how in my mind, I'm convinced that those Tuesdays led to that tremendous hug and kiss and goodbye from the two of them now that they're grown and gone. You see, we want that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father. But are we doing the small things that lead to that kind of relationship with Him? Let's pray. Father, help us not to despise the small things that lead to great achievements in You. And Lord, I pray right now that You'd be with each person in this room today, and that God, we would long to hear those words from You that we've been faithful in a few things, therefore, Lord, You give us many things. So God, I pray that every person here this morning could choose one word that would make their life better, that would make their faith more active. That, Lord, we would begin the huge job of not rebuilding the temple, but rebuilding our lives. And God, may we be found faithful to You. And may we love You with all of our strength, with all of our might. And Lord, I pray that others would see these little things that we're committed to, Lord, that lead to a great relationship in You. Father, may it be so, and may we desire that and seek that even now as we sing and share together. In Jesus' name, amen.